This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, let's see if we can get two Olympic plays in under the wire before we set up the show officially today. France, Argentina, two of the favorites to win gold men's soccer 2024 in Paris. They're going to meet in just a minute. You can still get this bet in the quarters. Thierry Henry, of course, France leads a team that has three clean sheets. They've been awesome, scored seven goals, just beat up on New Zealand on Tuesday, 3-0. So what'd they do? Rested their starters. That's the advantage against Argentina today. Now, these are two titans, bad blood between France and Argentina in men's soccer. Argentina dropped their opener 2-1 to Morocco. Morocco's a very good team, finished 2-1 in the group. France is relentless on the attack. Based on form and home field advantage here for the home country and France, I like them at a plus price. I got them plus 105. So France and men's soccer at the Olympics. That's the first play. The big guy. Let's go basketball. Germany, France.
Yeah, France back in action again. Both these teams locked into the knockout round after starting 2-0. The knockout bracket is a random draw. However, the winner of this one has a chance to be one of the highest two ranked teams, which means they can end up on the opposite end of the bracket as the U.S., assuming the Americans take care of Puerto Rico. France needed overtime against a bad Japan team a couple days ago. They beat Brazil by 22. Germany's coming off a win over Brazil, and they beat Japan by 20. The way I look at it, the way I watch things go and play out, Germany is the much deeper team to me. They are the much younger team. I like the vibes out of them. In a rehashed rivalry of the Axis and the Allies, unfortunately, I'm going to back the Germans at minus 3.5.
Yeah, you did it, big guy. I heard that. Germany, basketball. France, soccer. Olympics, you can bet it. Let's go. Sharp Money, as we welcome you in and we welcome you back. That's it. Pack up the Yetis, winterize the boat, put your little water wings away. Summer's done. Hall of Fame game yesterday. You could almost smell it in the air. There was like a little crisp in the air outside of Vegas. Apologies to all of you in Vegas where it's 106 degrees. But everywhere else across the country, kind of felt like fall was amongst us. That was a Thursday night game, of course, with the Texans and Bears last night. And from now until forever, you're not going to have a Thursday without football. It felt freaking awesome because essentially, not just here on VSiN and Sharp Money, we turned the page. We had some fun in the summer, but this is money-making season. This is when it really matters as we embark upon not just college football, but of course the NFL. Rules changes abound. You saw them with the kickoff rule last night in the Hall of Fame game. We're going to get to those coming up in just a bit. I want to officially say hi. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The big guy, it's nice to see the big guy step back into the studio after an extended vacation. Look, when you're a big deal, you can take a long vacation. So there's Dustin Sweetelson, of course, downtown Las Vegas, at the D. Just a couple of things. First off, thank you to everybody that filled in on Sharp Money over the last 31 days. I appreciate it more than I can explain. Thank you to the bosses, but it's time to get to work. All right. We take a month off and then we grind for the next 8 months straight. We don't take time. It's football season. This is when it matters. And with the return of Sharp Money, the big guy, you've got the family plays returning. What are family plays? Those of you new to the network, and a lot has changed over the last 31 days on the network for the better. I assure you, for the better and for the better, if you understand what I'm saying. Now, family plays. Our objective on Sharp Money is to give you as many sharp plays as possible over 3 hours. So the family is back with plays across myriad sport. Sharp Money Survivor, your opportunity, sharpmoney@vsin.com, to win a bunch of cash, a little contest for the family here, and we're going to start up again on Monday. It's been a tough week here on the program. I can't wait for the weekend. Sharp Money Survivor back on Monday, big guy. Also, we've got the weight loss challenge with Dustin Sweetelson and Jonathan Von Tobel. We've got plenty to do as we bring our regular guests back. We've got Mike Randall. We've got the Plus Money Prince and Aaron Halterman. So it just feels nice to be back and to get back into the groove. as we embark upon the show. Now, I think it makes sense to start with the Bears, obviously, and the Texans, because that's what we saw last night. And I do want to get to the rules changes as far as the kickoff. A couple of things here. Whether or not it's good or bad, look, it's about player safety, so you can't hate on that. I will say this, and I talked to Steve Fezzik, professional bettor, earlier this morning, and he has a theory as to how pros and sharps are going to attack this new kickoff rule. And I'll just give you a little tease for the Monday program when Fezzik joins us in studio, his triumphant return. He's got it shaded 1 point for the dogs. So we'll get to that on Monday. I'll just say this. You're not going to see a lot in the preseason. The preseason has had, even in my lifetime as a bettor, quite a sea change. Obviously, you didn't see the rookie last night, Caleb Williams. You didn't see C.J. Stroud. And this has been happening and progressing for a while. Sean McVay is kind of the flag holder. He didn't start anybody last year in the preseason, and the Rams went out and made the postseason. The preseason has become so ambiguous. Now, for bettors, there's opportunities, and we'll talk to Steve and have plenty of opportunity over the next 3-4 weeks as far as the preseason to discuss ways to profit in the preseason, but it's just so different. I mean, you're not going to see Caleb Williams. I know people complain that you should be. He hasn't earned the right. There is no reason to throw somebody out there. You're not going to see C.J. Stroud. You're not going to see a lot of these starters. So you have to be very careful as far as how you attack the preseason. One, I'll give you an example. Let's talk about the line movement yesterday, both on the side and the total in the Hall of Fame game. The Bears on Monday were laying 2. Then, and this is how it's always going to be dictated, you're going to watch the quarterback rotation start to crystallize, and you're going to get an idea as to who's going to play, right? So by the time the game kicked off last night, we had gone through 0 to the Texans laying 2.5, and that's pretty easy to see why. One, you knew you weren't going to see the rookie and Caleb Williams, and then Tyson Bagent, who's going to be the second string quarterback for the Bears, and Dustin and I were talking about this yesterday, whispers that he really wasn't going to play, played a series or two, attempted 3 passes, so that meant the Brett Rypien show. Now, he showed out, but before, in pre-flop, before you're betting into this game, you're not expecting much from Brett Rypien and Austin Reed, who's a rookie. And then you look on the other side. Now, we're talking line movement here. Why did we go through 0 to the Texans closing 2.5 last night in Canton? Well, here's the reason. No Stroud, Davis Mills, established. Case Keenum, established. And Tim Boyle, established. Now, it didn't play out. Weather shortened the game. Okay, let's go to the total. Now, the total was fascinating. The total opened 33 in the Hall of Fame game, drove all the way down to 30. These preseason totals are going to be exceptionally low, and then got hit back up to 32.5. What's fascinating to me is the first half and what happened. So it was 16, and it got hit up to the key number of 17. Why is that important? The weather crystallized. And what happened? You didn't see any rain in the first half yesterday in Canton, and then the game got rained out in the second half. As game time approached, we started understanding that it's probably going to be dry in the first half. So you saw that key number in the first half for the total of 17 hit, and it cleared it easily as far as the gameplay. So that's one. You should always be analyzing these numbers before the game starts, and then the next morning or that night when you're sitting down and breaking down the numbers and the line movement, well, why? You have to apply it, okay? Now, big guy, as far as the rules changes, and the big one is the kickoff, and we had an opportunity for the first time to look at the new kickoff rules as far as the Texans and the Bears. I'll say this, seven different kicks were returned before the game's weather delay late in the third quarter, which is actually a plus considering most of those kicks would have been touchbacks a year ago. After you kind of recalibrated and looking at the screen, because it looked goofy, if you're not an XFL fan, that just looked wild. But the bottom line is this, and then I'll let you jump in about what you thought about it. So the teams are kicking off at the opponent's 35, 10 players, excuse me, at their own 35, 10 players on the kicking team starting at the opponent's 40. Okay, so we all saw the way it was lined up. At least 9 of the returning team must be set up in the zone between the 30 and the 35. So those obviously up on the kicking team. Now, here's what's important. If the ball lands in the end zone, goes through, it comes out to the 30. If the ball lands short in the landing zone and rolls through the end zone, it comes out to the 20. So really that landing zone, and I think it's probably optimal for a kicker as far as landing between, you know, 10 to the goal line, 5 to the goal line. Because remember, those kicking team players can't leave until the ball's actually made contact. So that's the part as far as limiting, you know, player injuries. There can't be this hardcore running start, and you have to wait for, obviously, the ball to bounce, and then we're off. I didn't really, again, it's going to take some time. We need a bigger data size as far as what we're going to get from this. So I didn't get a ton. And also, I just think it's common sense to understand that special teams coordinators, until the regular season starts, they've got ideas. They're just not going to share much. And that's what we saw last night, big guy.
Yeah, the two takeaways for me, you realize how fast players have been running down on kickoffs and the collisions that are happening, and you see the limited impact from this in just one game. You kind of understand, for safety reasons, why they're going to this method. The other thing was what you just touched on. The creativity is coming. At some point, these coaches are going to find holes in this system, ways to exploit the rules, live in the gray area, and do some fun, creative things. And then we can get a little bit of chaos and a little bit of fun back into the kickoffs. Dare I say 2024, make kickoffs great again?
Dare you? It's nice to be back with the big guy. It's nice to have that wintergreen Zen pack. I'm going upper tank. And when we come back, bullseye on the Texans. Let's break down their season win total. And the Bears, a lot of hype. Sharp money, we're back. It's nice to see you. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Samich is coming up in an hour. We've got stakes races from Saratoga. Going to make you some money on the track. Stuart Durst is coming up at the bottom of the hour with some baseball. We've got family plays, so plenty of plays coming up for you here on the program. Now, I'll be straight up, the last month, as a 46-year-old single man, I don't miss much. I missed my dog when I was away, and I missed our next guest. He's my friend. He's Thomas Gable. He is the director of the race and sports book at the Borgata. How you been, Thomas?
I've been well, Patrick. First day back for you?
Yes, sir. First day back from a little break. Yes.
Very good. It's my first day back from vacation as well today. Now, I don't get to take a month off like you, but I did take a week off.
He took a month and a day, Thomas. He took a month and one day. Let's get it
a
right.
Month. You're true. That's right. It's August 2nd. Why is that, Patrick? Why did you take that extra day?
Let's focus on you, Thomas. You just got back from vacation. Okay. How was your week?
It was fine. Played some golf, saw some family, some friends. So it was all good. But no, welcome back to you, and hope you had a nice restful month there. And obviously, coming back just as football is getting underway, and you know we've weathered the month of July here with baseball, and having the Olympics helped a little bit there towards the end of the month. So. But yeah, it's been, as you know, dog days of summer, it's a little bit slow in the sports betting world. So it's a nice thing when Del Mar starts up and Saratoga starts up in the racing world, and you can just get some more people in and excited about some things.
Yep, absolutely. Progressive guest line, Thomas Gable joins us here on Sharp Money, our good friend over at the Borgata, the best property in Atlantic City on the East Coast, period, full stop. Okay, so let's start with the Olympics and talk about the wagering there at the Borgata. What's been getting hit? Has it been a good handle?
Well, the handle that's been good are on the sports that I think you would probably expect, because the bettors are familiar with the players who are involved, so i.e. basketball. Handle has been great for Olympic basketball, tennis, golf, those sports have been very good. Soccer, the sports that we throw up that you never really get to bet any other time, like swimming, water polo, beach volleyball. You know, the handle's a lot less because, you know, people don't really know much about those sports. Maybe they're fun to watch right. every 4 years, but they don't really know anything about them. But you know, when you have NBA players on a lot of these teams and a lot of these different countries in Paris, you know, the bettors know them. They're familiar with them. So they think that they can handicap those a little bit better. And that's really where the handle kind of goes and trends towards. So, yeah, I mean, the handle's been great in basketball. The handle's been great in soccer and tennis so far. And obviously the golf just got started yesterday. So obviously it's only going to be a short, you know, 4 day event there as a normal golf tournament would be. But, you know, you have all the big names playing a course that they just played if they were eligible for the Ryder Cup like 6 years ago. So there's some familiarity there and some course history there with certain players. So, yeah, I mean, it's good. It's a good diversion here for people as they get ready for football and just from the daily grind of Major League Baseball betting.
Yeah, and Thomas Gable joining us from the Borgata. You mentioned it. It was almost seminal last night with Houston and Chicago because that really represents a turning of the page, not just at the book there at the Borgata, but for sports bettors. Obviously, the NFL is king. Right behind it there, mm-hmm. college football. People love to bet football. Let's talk about last night. So we go through zero up to Houston closing 2.5. You can give me maybe close 32, 33 on the total. Let's talk about the weather-shortened game and how you handled that there at the Borgata.
Yeah, I mean, it was an unfortunate break for the first preseason game where it unfortunately didn't get to 55 minutes played. And that is typically where sports books kind of draw the line there in the house rules that games must have 55 minutes of play to become official. And that didn't happen last night. So almost every bet aside from first half bets were refunded. At least here they were, and I'm sure in many, many spots out there in Vegas as well. Now, some books may have different house rules, so maybe some did get paid out, but all of ours, at least the full game wagers, second half wagers, those were all refunded. So you hear from the under bettors, they were quite happy with that, and then you hear from the over bettors who weren't real happy with that. But that's just the way it goes, and you know it's unfortunate. But listen, it's a preseason game. That's the good news, that it was a preseason game. The limits are smaller, obviously much smaller than you would be taking on a regular season game. So you have less people involved for less money. So I guess if there's a silver lining, it's that it was a preseason game.
I'm obsessed with that first half total because as we got closer to the game and the weather, Thomas, started to crystallize, did you jump mm-hmm. up to 17 on that first half total? Now obviously clears the 17 or 16.5 wherever you landed, but that was a key move. Some books went 16 to 17 with that first half total, which is key.
Right. And we did go to 17 first half. And the other thing to keep in mind as we get more into the preseason now, the key numbers for preseason games are not necessarily the key numbers that you see in regular season games. So the one and the two are a lot more important come preseason than they are in the regular season. So keep that in mind for all the bettors out there.
Good point. Now, the new kickoff rules. I was texting with Fezzik, a pro, earlier today. He's going to talk about it on the program on Monday, how pros are attacking that. I don't expect you to have an idea of how to grasp this yet because it's so new. We saw it one game, and I think special teams coordinators are going to keep under wraps what they're going to do until the regular season. Mm-hmm. But have there been conversations behind the book about these new kickoff rules?
Some, but again, like you said, it's, I think a lot of teams are going to play this kind of close to the vest. We're not going to see much in preseason as far as what teams are really going to do. I'm sure the pros like Fezzik that are out there, they probably already have this calculated out. And, you know, have an idea of how it's going to play out. But obviously, you know, you're going to need data on it as well to really get this number dialed in as to what it's truly worth. We'll see. You know, one preseason game doesn't really do much for us other than seeing actually what it kind of looks like. But again, I think you bring up a good point, and I think it's very true. I don't know really what you're going to see from teams, special teams in the preseason. I think they're pretty much going to play close to the vest.
You know, it's interesting, Thomas, and, you know, the sports legalization only for the past, what, 5-6 years. But what fascinates me is when I was coming up, you know, a lot of really sharp bettors had opportunities to profit in preseason football. But a lot has changed.
Yeah.
Like the McVay approach, where he just literally doesn't play starters. There has been a sea change as far as, I think, the profitability and the variance as far as the preseason. Have you noticed any differences in betting amongst the sharps in the preseason?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think sharps still look to get involved where they can find an edge, whether that's in preseason. I think, you know, when you and I started betting, obviously the biggest change has been social media, where there's a lot of information about teams now that's right at your fingertips, whereas before, you know, you would have to do some extra work, but you would get rewarded for it by finding those newspaper reports from local reporters and, you know, what coaches are saying going into games. It was a lot tougher to get that information. Books were much slower to react. So you could get ahead of a lot of preseason, you know, before the age of social media and Twitter and X, and where everything is kind of right at your fingertips. And same with the sports books. Obviously, we also have that same information, and we can get it very quickly. So just a different time period. Some of that, you know, it's always going to be a race for information in this game, as you know. That's never going to change. But it was, to me, I think the sharps and people who were looking for an edge back before social media, I mean, you had to do more work, but I think you could also get bigger rewards because you could certainly get out ahead of things.
100%. Okay, just about a minute left. Now, before I left for July, there was a rumor you were coming to town and you were going to be in person judging Palm versus the big guy. Where does that stand?
Yeah, I mean, listen, is Mike Palm going to be on this coming Wednesday?
Absolutely. I believe he is going to be on next Wednesday. Absolutely.
Okay. So then, yes, I will. I'm actually flying in Tuesday morning, so I will make it a point to get over to the D by his appearance time on Wednesday.
Yes.
And you can forward me any questions in advance so I'm prepared, so I know what to expect here, and I will be there. I'll be there as a second judge.
Hell yes, TG. Well, listen, I hope you had a great vacation. You deserve it more than anybody. Of course, the Borgata Race and Sportsbook Director, Thomas Gable. We look forward to another great football season with you. It's great to hear your voice, my friend, and we'll see you next week.
All right, sounds good. Looking forward to it. And Dustin, I mean, I hope this is the start of maybe a comeback here against Palm.
TG, it's the first time a scale's ever been tipped in my favor, at least as far as this contest goes.
That's not a bad line. He's back, people. TG, thank you. We'll talk to you. We'll see you in person next week there at the D. Progressive Guest Line brought you Thomas. We've got some family plays, and we have the Jays Yanks on the other side. We're back. Sharp money. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Hope you had a nice July. It's time to get serious as we turn the page. Hall of Fame game last night, weather shortened. But again, it just felt nice to have some live bullets as far as football. As we welcome you back, Dustin Sweetelson hanging out at the D, downtown Las Vegas. He is joined by our buddy, and I would say over the past 6 months, Stuart Durst has become a big part of the program, and for good reason. Based out of the DMV, you can find him. He's a sports betting analyst at Monotone Football, but his approach, and it's not just Dustin about giving picks, he's constantly explaining his process, which is we constantly hear people want to hear the process, hear how he comes about, his bets, regardless of sport. And so Stuart's become a staple on the show, and we're happy to have him. Big guy, anything you want to add to that before we introduce the flow?
Yeah, he's always got good creative angles. It's not just blind analytics. There's always like a game situation element to it. But also, he's one of the few guys in the market that's super sharp across multiple sports. I mean, he bets basketball, he bets football, bets baseball. And there's just not a lot of people who can do that across the board all year round, and he's great at it.
Okay, so not a lot to live up to. It's quite an introduction, Mr. Durst, and we welcome you. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm super happy to be in Vegas. Haven't been here in a while, honestly, so it's great to be here live in person. Like you said, we've been doing the Zoom calls for a while. That's a lot of fun, but it's good to, you know, put faces to names and, you know, wrap it all in person.
Yeah, it's good to have you, and I like to get backstory. I like people's journey before we delve into the picks today, Stuart. So let's do that, and we'll just start. You know, you're younger than us, and what I notice is a lot of the young bettors are so proficient with props. DC, let's talk about the state of betting in the DMV. Why don't we start there and your introduction to sports betting?
Yeah, no problem. DC is a blessing for me because you only had to be 18 to start sports betting legally. And luckily for me, my interests were peaked at about 16, right? So I was good to go. Most states you have to wait to 21. I'm only 23 right now. So I got a little bit of a head start being over in DC. And the way I got into sports betting was just as funny. I started out writing about Oscars betting. That's right, the Oscars. Wow. I know monotone football is the name. I love writing about football, but I kind of found this weird niche. I love movie trivia, right? And I started getting really into it, and I realized you can bet on who wins these awards. And these markets are not sharp whatsoever. Even now, like 5 years later, they're still not sharp at all. So that really kind of piqued my interest. I got in with the guys over at Vegas Insider, and it's been going great ever since.
So it starts with, wow, that's fascinating. There certainly is a market there for Oscars betting. But may I ask, how'd you come about that market?
Yeah, I was, shout out Pat Mayo. He's one of the goats of the fantasy football world. He did an Oscars preview show, and he had the odds up there. And I was like, this is crazy. All of these are completely wrong. If you follow the guys that live, breathe the Oscars, they know who the favorites are, right? There are whole websites, whole tons of information, not the standard data analytics that we're used to, but tons of useful, profitable information that nobody was taking advantage of. So I saw a little opportunity for myself, and I jumped right in.
All right, what's the last good movie you've seen? Give me a recommendation.
Oh, that's a tough one. If you like action movies, a little older, I loved Monkey Man. I thought that was a great one. People love John Wick. They talk about that. I thought that was a fantastic movie. That's the first one that jumps off my head. The Sound of Metal is another fantastic movie from a couple Oscar seasons ago that I love. One of my favorites of all time.
Monkey. I didn't even hear him. I thought he was talking about the Planet of the Apes movie that was in my TikTok that looked awesome. I didn't know what Monkey Man was.
So the DMV and the Nats, Rizzo's done a hell of a job. I would say that team is a little ahead of schedule, specifically coming off a World Series where they just unloaded everybody and now have kind of quickly built back into next year. I think there's going to be a lot of promise for a young team that has a lot of good prospects. Baseball betting, though, why don't we start there? Because you've got a bunch of baseball bets today. Your approach, your process when it comes to everyday attacking baseball.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, I'm really invested in player props, obviously, but the hitter props market has really been my specialty. And today I'm going to be talking about a total bases prop and a hits, runs, RBIs prop. And you kind of teed me up pretty well to start out with James Wood, who I'll be playing for over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs today. And the reason I wanted to just go right into the play is because I think the analysis is kind of important to how we break these down, right? Because James Wood is a guy that's coming in with some good recent form. He's over this number in 4 of his last 5 coming in. He's hitting over .330 over his last 10 games. He's playing very good baseball right now. But I think a lot of people, when they get to the actual, you know, the bet screen, they see total bases, hits, runs, RBIs. Which one of these should I choose? A guy like James Wood, for me, perfectly profiles for a hits, runs, RBIs play over a total bases play for multiple reasons. One, the eye has been very good. He's walked in over 4 of his last 5 games. For a rookie, this guy sees the plate fantastically. So that hurts you a lot for total bases. A guy like Juan Soto, he's one of the best hitters in the league. He gets walked 3 times a game. It's very hard to win those total bases props. But when you switch up the markets, when you go hits, runs, RBIs, you're not just depending on one player. It's the whole cluster. It's multiple guys. Who's around him in the lineup? A guy like C.J. Abrams, another guy who crushes right-handed pitching. And the pitcher in this one is a great matchup. Frankie Montas this season, over 500 slugging against left-handed hitters, 70 points worse on the batting average against lefties versus righties. So for me, I like James Wood, but I also like C.J. Abrams. I also like Keibert Ruiz, who's been absolutely killing it since the All-Star break. There's a bunch of guys in this lineup I like. So going with the hits, runs, RBIs, I think is the ideal pick for a guy like James Wood, who has a great support system around him, guys that can drive him in if he maybe walks and doesn't do it himself.
Love that. Love that. Here's what I would say about James Wood. Does he have a pulse? Like, he is so laid, but when I've watched him a few times, am I wrong? He's so laid back that you almost want to shake him. You know, he's so young and composed.
I hate the name that it reminds me of. You guys aren't going to like it. Anthony Rendon, all of his years in Washington, D.C. He was great in D.C., okay? Angels, obviously, I'm sorry, not so much up there. But the guy truly never looked like he could care less about baseball, and he was still fantastic, right? He was one of the reasons we won the World Series that year. James Wood, I'm going to say he's a little bit more passionate about baseball than that. I was actually there at his debut game, and it was exactly what you said. He didn't show an ounce of emotions. That was our only sold-out game of the season, standing ovation, and not a smile or anything. So he's locked in. He's a stone-cold killer, and I'm excited for him to cash our ticket today.
Yeah, he is. Like Dustin said, when Stewart walked up to the desk at the D, the dude's like 6'4", 6'5", so bigger than he expected. James Wood has very much monster vibes as well. That is a big dude. And Dustin, he was talking about Rendon. To be fair, Rendon literally admitted he does not care about baseball.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, it's a paycheck. I don't care.
But he was also across the board early in his career, like minimum 275, 15 homers, 15 RBI, like 85,
awesome.
85. Like he just contributed everywhere, played second and third. Yeah. And a calming presence for that lineup. Stuart, I have a question with the batter props because I struggle to dive into this market consistently. I mostly just go after players who crush left-handed pitching when the matchup is right. However, the books know when those guys have a good matchup and the numbers are juiced severely. How much of a role does past success against a current pitcher? How much role is the analytics of the projections? Like, what is your balancing act with the information you're looking at and locking in a play on a hitter? Because there are a lot of options, and to me, it's very difficult.
That's a great question. For me personally, it's different for everyone. Batter versus pitcher means almost nothing to me.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, unless we have a sample size of maybe 30, 40 at-bats, a lot of it's very random, right? So the number one thing that I use to stand out is pitch splits. How is a batter doing versus individual pitches from a player? Frankie Montas, for example, going up against James Wood, he heavily relies on the sinker, the cutter, and the splitter. James Wood does not have a single hit against a slider this season, but that's not something he has to worry about because he has an over 330 batting average against the cutter and over a 285 batting average against the sinker. So a pitch like the slider, I would never want to target James Wood against a slider heavy pitcher, right? But that's not the case here at all. It's a guy that's really relying on the cutters, the sinkers. And I think that's something that James Wood has had much more success against. And I think it means way more than, you know, four or five past at bats a guy's had against a pitcher.
This is a great question and a great answer. And stick around. You've earned another segment because we have more bets on the other side with Stewart. I will say this, just an update. Hopefully Stewart was listening to the beginning of Sharp Money because we gave out France. And again, this is a wood desk. Well, I'm knocking it. But France right now up 1-0 on Argentina at the Olympics. Men's soccer. Big guy Germany, where you at?
Under a minute to go, we're up 14 with Germany over France.
And you laid what?
3.5.
Ooh, we're back, baby. And we're cooking. We are cooking.
Officially right. Back.
We are officially back. And it does, I think you have, yeah, it looks like, do you have an Olympic play on the other side as well, Stuart?
I do. I got one for us, yep.
Okay, when we come back, Stuart's got another hitter prop in Major League Baseball. He's got a play from France, wee-wee. And then at the top of the hour, of course, Mike Somich is going to join. If you want to get into some horse racing on a Friday, we've got a couple of stakes races over at Saratoga. So Somich is going to join coming up in just a bit, but we continue with professional bettor Stuart Durst next here. Sharp Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money is back, and it's been a long week as we sit here on a Friday. The big guy finally came back from vacation, Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out at the D, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. It does legitimately feel good to be back off the heels of the Hall of Fame game and football. Again, it doesn't matter who starts. It doesn't matter who was playing. Inject it right here, Dustin. Find a vein and inject it, because the NFL, they've got us. That's what they do. Go ahead. I see you chomping at the bit.
No, I was going to say, it's just the beauty is we are creatures of routine. And I, look, y'all can enjoy basketball. You can enjoy March. You can enjoy all these other sports seasons. But there truly is no feeling of just knowing the way your week and day lays out with the football and how you need to approach every single day of the week. Every week's kind of the same going forward. I need the routine. It makes me a better person, and it always comes with the football season.
Do you enjoy friendship?
Friendship and happiness for everyone.
Well, because I was gone for a month and I didn't hear from you. I did hear from Aaron Halterman, who's part of the family. Okay. We got a family play coming up in just a bit. And multiple times I heard from our next guest, who's also a colleague. And I would say the sharpest better I know, of course, Mike Somich, host of The Handle on the weekends. Mike Somich with the Somo Bomb Progressive Guest Line on a Friday joins us. And it's great to see your face. And you're my friend. More than Dustin, I appreciate our friendship. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I knew I had to check in at least once, or else I would get so much crap from you today on the air. So I made sure I made that call, checked in. I'm surprised you missed your dog. You mentioned that to Thomas Gable earlier. Did you not bring Correct. Your dog with you up to Michigan?
I did not. I actually had an awkward, and we'll get to, we got a stakes race coming up at Saratoga. You're fading the Texans as well. We'll get to that in a second. I had an awkward situation, boys. I had to leave my dog for 10, 11 days, and I had somebody stay at my place, sleeping in my bed.
No.
Like, doing, like, the whole entire, I paid extra to have them stay here, and then when I came back, I just felt a little, it was a little awkward, I'm not gonna lie, it was a little awkward.
Yeah, I have a lot of things around my house and drawers and whatnot I'd prefer no one ever find, so I can't handle that.
Samo, you understand, though, as a dog owner, the comfort factor of have the routine stays the same. But when I got back and I looked at the bed and I was like, Shorty was there and I believe her boyfriend was over. So
oh,
it made me
no,
feel
throw the bed out. Burn it.
Yeah, you got to have the right person if someone's staying over there. You're looking for like the 55-year-old, 60-year-old woman who's, you know, single and just wants the company of a dog. That's what you're looking for if someone's going to stay at your place.
Yeah, that's illegal cool. In some states, a lonely woman looking for the company of a dog.
Take it easy, big guy.
Go down to Tijuana if you want to watch
finder.
That, Mike.
I'm not looking to watch it, Dustin. That's your own thing.
I can tell you
So one of the things, and you know, because you're so sharp with football and basketball and hockey and a multitude of sports, I don't think people really realize your acumen and how you and I met with the racing dudes, Aaron and Jared. I don't think people really understand your acumen when it comes to horse racing and horse betting. And we do have the Oaks Invitational, which is great too, coming up at Saratoga. But Somich, that's kind of the base for you. And in fact, I do believe right now you're sweating out a couple of contests. Fill us in.
Yeah, sweating some contests out. There's a big contest this weekend that I'm not in yet, so trying to qualify for it last minute right now on Horse Tourneys. Phenomenal way to get involved in horse racing if you want high upside with lower risk there. It's been a chalky day, man. We need to get some bombs home here. We need some prices, but it's been all chalk in the tournament so far. I think this race coming up, the Saratoga Invitational, is going to be a chalky one as well. It's a better betting race, really, than it is a tournament race. The one-horse Cinderella's Dream is going to be in here for Charlie Appleby. William Buick made the trip across the pond to ride this one last time, won the Belmont Oaks Invitational. Now you're trying to pull the double off here with the Saratoga Oaks Invitational. Short price right now on the board, 1-2, a very likely winner. But with the scratches in this field, you've got the four horse Makanga here, who is going to go right to the lead. Went gate to wire, two back on the turf, going to try and do the same thing. And it really sets up well. If you want to bet this thing, you can exacta right now 1/4 at 5-1. So I'm going to bet this one. I'm going to take the best horse on top, and then the horse who has the big pace edge over everybody else in that second spot. Instead of getting 1-2 on the favorite, you can try and hit a cold exacta here, 1/4, and get a 5-1 price.
Okay, so we're going ice cold. We're not going to box it?
Oh, we don't box, Patrick. Come on.
I do box.
Let's go.
Okay.
Baby.
I am not. I'll try to clean up my language here. I'm a little more conservative when it comes to horse racing and horse betting than you are. So I tend to box, but I think that's a good example. First off, how many minutes until post time? And then we can explain the exact of whether you're boxing or going ice cold.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes to post, so still plenty of time to get your wagers in here. Head over to ExpressBet, one of my favorite ADWs, one of these sponsors here for VSiN. Excited to have that on board. And pop in that 1-4 exactly here. Like I said, 5-1 right now. And the reason why in these type of situations I'm not boxing is because it really deludes your opinion. If it comes in 4-1, you're looking at a $10 payout right now. So only 2-1. I would rather just bet the 4 to win at 5-1. Then box the exacta, because you're getting a better payout there with the 4-1 straight than you are playing the 4-1 exacta in a lot of ways. To me, this is a race that goes through the one. Clearly the best horse in the race. And when I have a big opinion but don't like the price, you got to figure out a better way to get paid. In this case, to me, it's that cold exacta. I don't want to play it the other way, because if I box this and it runs 1-4, I only going to get 2.5-1. And I don't think that that's a 50-50 chance the one wins this race. I think it's closer to around that 75% chance, which is what the current 1-2 odds dictate. So I want to try and find a way to really juice up that payout. To me, playing cold exactas, cold trifectas, cold daily doubles, which means you're playing just one horse in each of the spot, allows you to kind of be able to make some money off of these 1-2 favorites, which is tough to do when you're betting to win.
Okay, Dustin, was that the first well actually of the football season, even though we're talking horse racing? Because I wanted to box and he hit me with a hard well actually. Is that true, big guy?
Yes. Yes. I also want to point out that Mike came in out of the gates knowing he had to bake in Patrick's mood and attitude into how he handles things. And that's just how everyone has to be around you, Patrick. I want to point that out. Give Mike credit for acknowledging it.
I would say my mood has been exemplary.
No.
Would you disagree?
Because Mike did what he needs to do, which is reach out to you well in advance,
yes,
see how
true.
The vacation's going. Had he not, your mood wouldn't be. Yeah. So Mike did the right thing.
Yes, I am a diva. I do like to be buttered. Yeah, get with the program, big guy. All right, so hold on. Let's do it one more time. The race is coming up in just a bit. Race 8, Saratoga, grade 2. I am going ice cold. We're going who on top?
Go with the one horse, Cinderella's Dream, on top, and the four horse, Makanga, in second. We expect the 4 to go out early, set the pace of the race, and the 1 to absolutely mow her down late. And this to finish 1-4 cold. Right now, the exacta is still paying 5-1, and we're getting 2-5 on the one horse. So a much better price with the exacta 1-4 than just betting the 1 to win.
The bet is in, and just a few minutes to post time. Mike, it's tremendous to see you. We were talking about the Texans. So last night was a little different. Again, it was all void over at the Borgata because they didn't get to the allotted minutes with the weather-shortened game. What I found fascinating, not just a line move, and really a lot of that line move comes down with the crystallizing of who's going to play at quarterback, and with Bajent really not, prior to the game, getting a, you know, this understanding that it was going to be Rippon and the rookie, and then you have established quarterbacks there with the Texans. You saw that number pushed up to 2.5 with the Texans favored. The total in the first half was fascinating because it jumped 16-17 in the first half because that weather report, which was unclear, started to crystallize, and we knew the rain was coming in the second half, and they cleared that first half total of 17 easily.
Yeah, the preseason's all about steam. You don't want to steam chase during the regular season. A lot of times steam chasing during the preseason makes sense because it's hard for these books to get information about who's going to start, who's going to play how many series, weather obviously a huge factor when you're talking about totals as well in these type of games. And yesterday is one of those rare occasions where it didn't seem like the steam was going to be right. However, I don't think any of us had the Rippon game coming where he just looked electric out there throwing the ball deep all over the place. I thought it was a very interesting football game, though. I watched every snap. I enjoyed it. I couldn't believe we had football back. I was so excited to be able to get out there, get on to just sit in front of my computer and watch this game. I'm not sure about this Texans team. I know you guys were out there talking about it. There's not much depth on defense. We saw the Bears go up and down the field against them, but I thought Dustin's point was a phenomenal one in the first hour when he's talking about this team. To me, it's all about this schedule. When you look back last year, they won 0 games against teams that went to the playoffs during the regular season. They had 10 wins all against teams that did not go to the playoffs, but even more so, let's talk about the quarterbacks they faced last year. The best quarterback they faced, week 1, Lamar Jackson. After that, you could make a case it was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that was the next best game of a quarterback that they faced with Baker Mayfield. This year, they've got Love. They've got Mahomes. They've got all of these top quarterbacks because they're switching from that fourth place schedule to a first place schedule. And I didn't like that defense last year. Now, without any real additions, yeah, I get it. They added Hunter. That's great. He's maybe a half point at absolute most when you're ranking a team or power ranking a team. I just don't see it from the defensive side when they're facing this specific schedule with these quarterbacks. I'm on the Colts. I played them at over 3-1 to win the division. I'd still play them at over 3-1 to win the division. I love Shane Steichen. I realize Anthony Richardson is the real wild card in this spot. But to me, this Colts team has upside, and they have a significantly easier schedule. The comp is the Jaguars last year. We saw the Jaguars win that playoff game against the Los Angeles Chargers. Everyone was high on them going into the season last year. It's the same thing with the Texans. They beat a weak schedule. They won a playoff game against a bad Browns team, and now everyone absolutely loves them to the point where they're bet off the board in the division. I like the Colts quite a bit here at 3-1. I don't think they're the most likely team to win, but from a price perspective, I think they're the only bet in the South.
No, it's a great. And actually, the big guys breakdown, I was leaning towards fading the Texans because you mentioned opponents last year. They've got seven opponents who qualify for the postseason this year. They've got the fourth hardest schedule this year. They've got the Ravens. They've got the Chiefs this year. They've got the AFC North, AFC East this year. Dustin, quickly, before we go to break, we'll come back and discuss and potentially have the results of that eighth at Saratoga. But Dustin, that was a good job by you. You've convinced me.
Well, and it's also for me, Mike likes the Colts. I think the number on the Jaguars is kind of crazy. I think they actually improved this offseason despite losing a guy like Calvin Ridley. We can talk about that more. I think this division, though, is more wide open than the odds would tell you.
Come back. Maybe the result of a grade 2 at Toga. We've got the 1 over the 4. Samich is here on a Friday.